live on the internet radio through BBS. Thank you so much, BBS, for making this possible. I think it is fantastic that what we are doing as a group of lightworkers can be heard worldwide over the internet. It is today Wednesday, February the 21st, 2018. My name is Gijs Minderhout. I am located in Paradise, California. And I welcome you all. Another episode of 1 hour. Winfrey and Terry Brown. Win doing the questioning. Terry Brown doing the channeling from our beautiful brothers and sisters on the other side of the veil that are answering questions that can be submitted by you per email. And let me give you the email address, which is questions@intelligent-infinity.com. And you will most likely have received Win his announcement email for this evening's call. And also there is where you can find the email address. questions@intelligent-infinity.com. Again, I welcome you all. And we wait for more people to join in here on the conference call, as this is, as usual, a simulcast with a conference call. That's how it all started with conference calls. Good evening. Welcome to the next call. Thank you for being here. Please say your name and location. Or the next person. Good evening to you. Welcome. Please say your name and location.
Good evening. This is Terry from Dallas.
Hello, Terry from Dallas. Thank you for being here, darling. How are you?
Thank you. I'm doing good.
All right. And the next person that joined in, welcome to you. Please say your name and location.
Roger in Austin.
Hello, Roger. This is Texas Double Represented. Thank you for being here.
Yeah, thank you.
And the next person that came in, welcome to you. Please say name and location.
Hi, it's Dharmananda, Boulder Creek.
Dharmananda, good evening. Welcome.
Hi.
Thank you for being here.
Am I breaking up?
You are not breaking up. No, I hear you loud and clear.
Oh, you are.
All right. Is it my phone? Michelle, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you fine.
Okay, good. And the next person that joined into the call, thank you for being here. Please say your name and location.
Hi, it's Don in Northern Ohio. Hi, hi, everybody.
Welcome to the call, Don. Thank you for being here.
Thanks.
I believe I heard somebody else's voice. Welcome to you. If you want to, please say your name and location.
Terry in Stona.
Oh, my beautiful sister. Hello, Terry Brown. Welcome.
Hi.
Are you feeling better?
A trace better.
Sounds
you say
not
what?
Really.
Not really?
A little bit.
Uh-huh. You want to take it easy tonight and do something else but channeling?
Well,
okay.
I think Wynn wanted to answer a couple questions.
Listen to your heart. Listen to yourself, Terry, okay?
But Terry, you know what? Some of the questions tonight, I'll make a stab at answering.
Thank you, Wynn. Good evening, Wynn.
They usually like my answers. Usually.
Be careful with my sister.
Yeah.
Be careful with my sister. I love her dearly.
Oh, I'm very careful with her.
Okay, good. Wynn. Thank you for being here, Wynn.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, is your main site not functioning? I tried to get on to the .com, but no, I'm getting directed to the .net.
What, Intelligent Affinity, you mean?
Correct. This was last night the case, and today again.
Well, at least one of them's functioning, huh?
Again, and another one as well, but it has like an 8 and a 4 in the address.
I have to go, it's on my agenda to redo all my websites, you know?
Okay. Because so, I want to send out to those people I've met at L.A., in L.A., but I want to make sure first that things are up to par on your end.
Yeah. I wouldn't even send the website out. I'd send them a channel, an Elohim channeling.
Okay.
A good one. One, pick one they'll relate to, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then send them to the conference call, conference.intelligent-infinity.com.
All right. Okay. Conference.intelligence. Okay, okay.
I think that's working.
Thank you for the tip-in.
Yeah.
And we had a few more people join in over here. Welcome to you all. If you want to, please say your name and location.
This is Bonnie from Washington.
Hello, Bonnie from Washington. Good evening to you. Welcome.
And Anna from Kent, Washington.
Good evening to you, Anna. Welcome.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Feel free to say your name and location.
Helen from Virginia.
Hi, Helen. Welcome.
Thank you.
Jim from Irvine.
And hello, Jim. Good evening to you.
Thank you. You too.
You're welcome. Who else joined in? Welcome to you all. If you want to, please say your name and location.
Susan in Virginia.
Susan, good evening.
Hi.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Who else? Please say your name and location. But only if you want to. We welcome you. And, of course, I want to welcome all those cannot hear or see on BBS Radio. Thank you for participating with this evening's conference call. And we had another four.
Hi.
Hello, who is this?
This is Edna. Sorry, I was muted.
Edna, guten Abend, meine schöne Freund. Wir geht's, Fräulein.
Mir geht's ganz gut, danke schön.
All right. And who else joined in? Welcome to you all. Please say name and location. If you want to. Let's see, it's 6:06. I don't know if we have a lot of questions, Vin, but shall we get going? I'm going to turn off the dings.
All
right.
Okay. I am ready. Ready as I'll ever be.
Shall I move to phone lines? Are you ready for that?
Yeah.
All right, and I'm going to start the recorder at...
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
21st day.
This conference is being recorded.
And this is February 21st, 2018. It's our Wednesday call where people submit questions. And... normally, we have our sources answer the questions, and depending on how Terry is doing, maybe I'll turn it over to her. But she's got a terrible flu, and I don't think I have it, but I'm coughing a little bit. You know, her energy is really low, so. I looked at the questions today, and there's...
Now, can I interject over here? Are you using your, Korean stuff?
My Korean stuff?
From Korea, what's it called?
Hemohim, yeah.
Is it helpful, or at this point not for Terry?
Well, she only started taking it yesterday.
Okay.
One of the things about Terry...
I didn't take it for a while.
Okay.
One of the things about Terry is it's hard to keep her taking things.
Mm-hmm. You might be better tomorrow, Terry. Let's keep your hopes up.
But she's doing a little better today, okay?
Good. Blessings to you.
She was doing really bad yesterday, but, you know, I've been spending a certain part of the day... just taking care, you know, running around, buying this, setting appointment with an acupuncturist, and getting steak serum. So don't ask me who that is, okay? So I think we'll call in the light, and I'll ask the question, okay? And I'll do my best at answering it. And if somebody feels like that it wasn't adequate, ask it again next week, okay?
Well, see how I feel.
I think. Hang on a second here. I see. Bruce Buckley asked the last minute question. I can't usually answer your questions, Rich. Hang on a second here. You know, Rich is a really interesting guy. And he asks questions sometimes that are really sophisticated. And sometimes I can come up with an answer. I'll put it in the queue here. But, Rich, we got a lot of questions tonight. And we only got a quarter of a Terry. Okay. So
let's see how I do.
Yeah. Father, Mother, God. We ask for the presence of the light. Surround and protect Terry, myself, and each person on the line. And any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields of planet Earth, through our bodies and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. We create a protected space that only the positive has access to. Anything not of that nature must leave now. And I'm going to remind you all that answering these questions is not meant to have you give up your personal power. A very important principle, which both the Elohim and the Ra adhere to, is honoring free will. And sometimes we don't understand why that's so important. But for you to be a functioning person in this realm, you have to learn to make decisions. You have to learn discernment. If somebody else always does your discernment for you, then you never learn discernment. And when they're not around to tell you what to do, this is assuming that they tell you the right thing to do. And a bigger question is there a right thing to do? Well, in the broader sense, love your neighbor as yourself. In the broader sense, be kind. And, you know, those are all right things to do. But in the more specific sense, one of the things is learning discernment. You know, I quoted William Blake the other day, which that quote fits here. It's the path of excess that leads to the palace of wisdom. In other words, as you make mistakes, you get wiser. And as you get wiser, you are able to be of a higher service to other people. because you can then see their patterns and help them see their patterns if they acknowledge that for you. But you can't go out of your way to tell everybody their patterns. Not if you want anyone to run the other direction when they see you, okay? So, on that being said, I'm going to run down some of these questions, and Terry, I am not tempting you to come in here, okay? But when the question is over, when I answer it, if you want to say something, just jump in, okay?
You want to check to see if our sources are present, Win?
I know they're present.
Good.
Yes. They are present.
I can feel them. They love coming on these calls and talking to us.
They do.
Yeah.
They love all the people.
And I mean, this is such, you know, you'd think for what we're doing, we would have hundreds of thousands of people on this call. And you start to see how, what's the word here?
Come closer to your mic, man.
Closer to my mic. Is that better?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Doing something like this, I'm getting better at it. I'm getting better at being more transparent. And, you know, I notice that I'm able to talk to new people in a different way than I used to. And I'm more confident in what we're doing. And I think that will definitely make a difference over time. Okay? Now I see Kathleen Woodyard just sent me a question about a dream she had. Now that's one that I would not touch. Okay, I don't think I would touch it anyway. Because the Elohim is more celestial. They can see things. It requires seeing stuff like that, you know? So here is a question. From Rich Buckley about somebody by the name of Christopher Hitchens. He was a great spokesman for atheists. I enjoyed his brilliant deliveries and discussions about God is dead, which seemed more like a common complaint about organized religion. My question is,
the sources are laughing.
What is he working on now? Please let him know that in hindsight, he seems to do far more good than harm and was of great service to many others. It sounds like he's passed, okay? You know, even an atheist can have a lot of light. An atheist might have more light than a Christian. An atheist might be tapped into the Christ consciousness and doesn't even know it, you know? And obviously, he was good because of the way that you were responsive to him, okay? And, you know, people ask me, I'm going to say this two or three times as we go through these questions. People ask me, when, what do you think about this person? When can you validate that person? Well, this is exactly, if I did that, it would start to make me be negative. Because I'm telling you, well, that person is negative. Well, that person is this, and whatever. So I have to answer questions, and so do they, very carefully. So they don't take away the free will aspect. And if you can really understand it, without free will, you're a slave. If I tell you, this is good, this isn't good, don't do this, don't listen to him, then it means you can't figure it out for yourself. And sometimes, even if something is negative, it's better to track it and see where it leads, because then you learn about it. And a lot of my perceptions have come from my tracking various negative things all my life and coming to conclusions now that I didn't have 25 or 30 years ago, okay? So, in any case, he sounds like a good guy, and I'll shut up. If they want to say something, they can. Of course they can, but...
What is the question?
What is Christopher Hitchens working on now? I guess he died. It sounds to me like Rich wants to know what he's doing on the other side. And that might be a violation of his free will, but... How would you like it if we asked, what's Rich Buckley doing now? And they said, well, he's sitting on the toilet. You know, or something else, you know. But in any case, anything they want to say about this guy?
Just one thing. He found religion after he passed.
Yeah, religion after he passed. He found out that he continued, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
His growth pattern continues.
Yeah. Now, I believe Billy Graham just died. Is that true? You don't have to answer. That's not the question. But Roger Newcomb asked the question about Billy Graham, and that he's been paying attention to him for 20 years, and he's not an avid Christian. I never doubted for a moment this man's dedicated to righteousness of his cause, and when he spoke, everyone listened, and the world is a better place for his contributions to the moral health and well-being. Of its human occupants. So Roger just suggested we honor him during tonight's call.
Yes.
So
he had a great life.
And Valerie, I'm skipping you again. Okay, we'll see how Terry does. Maybe we'll come back to it. Dharmananda, your question here, I don't think you realize what you're asking when you ask me to do that publicly. Dharmananda had, somehow he got diagnosed with hepatitis. And then he muscle tested himself for hepatitis C. And the test says, I no longer have it. Can you confirm this? Dharmananda, you want me to go to jail? You realize what a big deal that is? That's like saying my sources are going to tell you not to worry and your health is okay. certainly to do it publicly. I mean, I'll have everyone in the world coming. That's Kimberly's job, all right? And I don't envy her, okay, because she does that. But for me, it's too risky, okay? And, you know, in general, if I was using muscle testing, I would go to someone who was really good at it and very neutral, because you can sway the results of a muscle test. Anyone can, even someone who does it to you. They get into your auric field, and how do you know if it's them reading you or them reading the oneness? Although I do know it works for a lot of people. I would not bet my life on it. Okay. Now, here is a question from Mark in Long Island. And this is a good one. Good question. Recently, I have reread portions of The Law of One Channelings, and the impression that I got was, while everything is the one infinite creator, everything that we experience in our third density incarnation on Earth is the result of what Ra calls the first distortion of the law of one, or free will. Ra has described our experience as a thick, heavy, dense, and a very convincing illusion. It also seems that the negative is heavily influencing our illusion, and the negative itself may have been a product of the first distortion of the law of one, or free will. My question is, if we are aware that everything is the one infinite creator, and also that everything we experience on Earth in third density is a result of the first distortion of the law of one, or free will, how do we reconcile these two dichotomies? Thank you. Love. That's it. Love resolves it. When you can, and I'm not talking about mushy love. I'm talking about when you can love everything in this realm, and at least be neutral to it. Like, it's probably hard to love the Illuminati, for example, are people that do horrible things, you know, eat babies, et cetera, et cetera. But on some level, as horrible as those things are, it's good to practice going neutral on them and realize that everything continues. Even when a horrible thing happens, the baby is going to continue endlessly, eternally. And when Ra says the first distortion is free will, you have to ask yourself, do I like being alive? Okay? You're here on some level because of the first distortion of coming into this realm, learning about this realm, learning how to feel separated. You know, there was a brilliant thing that I read it every so often, and it usually brings me to tears because I am so touched by it. And it was something
see, what's this guy's name? Philip J. Dick. Philip J. Dick was a science fiction writer in the 70s. After he died, he said his science fiction stories ended up becoming major movies, like Blade Runner, Minority Report, and probably about six or seven others. Well, Philip J. Dick had kept a journal, and when I was originally searching the internet for the word Elohim, trying to figure out who these guys are, I came out with a page in Philip Dick's journal, and you can look it up. Just look up Philip Dick, Elohim, E-X-E-G-E-S-I-S. And it became obvious to me that Philip Dick had connected with the Elohim. He mentioned them. And he talked about how all these beings from higher realms, now he didn't call them wanderers or starseeds. Those names weren't out in those days. He called them pluriforms of light that left their safe space in the higher realm to come into the dark, because if they didn't do that, the dark was going to separate from the universe and everyone here would be trapped. All the good people, or they'd be slaves, you know. Now, I'm not saying that's true. That's what he said. But it resonated as at least close. And so all these beings came in from the higher realms. And once they got here, they would no longer remember why they came. And they get caught up in the dark. But as they went through these lifetimes of being caught up in the dark, they were learning about the dark. And at one point, they would take their knowledge of the dark and switch it around and have the wisdom to work around the dark. And the reason I get teary-eyed is because I know that describes me. And some of you, perhaps. In any case, Doris Chris doesn't want to say anything about that.
Just a moment. There is such a thing as individuality. So one does not need to go with the flow, so to speak. One can set their own path and be true to themselves and can find a way through, even though the dark appears to be overwhelming. That is
a comment. Thank you. You know, I sent out a great quote in today's email. It's better to walk alone than with the crowds going in the wrong direction.
That's a good one.
And next question here. Bob from Chico. He wants the whole report and said, did Saint Germain do this? Did he manifest here? And the dictations by Saint Germain, Jesus, and a bunch of other ascended masters were and are to help us with our I Am presence to make our path to our ascension, thus breaking the individual's wheel of reincarnation. And alongside the ascended host in the light, serving the light, have not 100, if not thousands of blessed students made their ascension since that introduction of the law of life in 1930. And since their ascension, they are lovingly serving love and light here on earth and elsewhere in the universe. Is not what I have just stated the truth? Now, I'm going to say something here, and again, you are asking me, you got mad at me when I said this to you in an email, but you're asking me to validate it. How do you know whoever was said they were Jesus were Jesus? How do you know Saint Germain was Saint Germain's? Whenever I hear the word ascended masters, I always hear like, oh, well, they know everything. Tell me what to do. Just the word.
That is not true. They do not know everything. They have different helpful ideas, and yet they are not fully aware. So take what you find as good and helpful and leave the rest.
Exactly. Even if you read something totally negative or from a service to self person, service to self goes up to fifth density. So there's wisdom in service to self. And some of it you can take from the wisdom and learn from it. But, you know, when you study stuff where people keep saying things and you can't validate, and you accept them as true, then...
Just because they have one brilliant, helpful, workable thing does not mean that suddenly everything that they promote is helpful and is the right thing for you.
Mm-hmm. I'm just looking here. We have another question from John Munter. And John asks such deep questions. I like his questions. Let me go here and read his question. Since our souls are fractals of the infinite, and the only difference is a wider lens versus a narrower lens, why not keep being God's microscope in the evolving universe, rather like the vow of the Bodhisattva, to not enter enlightenment until all other sentient beings have, to incarnate into other humanoid races and even other species, working towards divine consciousness? Especially since we can plan out our future lives with our soul families and help of our guides along the way. Now, you know, in Buddhism, there's two kinds of Buddhism, and I don't remember the two names. I used to. I'm not going to try to remember. One is where you go out like a monk and you stay in seclusion until you're enlightened and leave this realm. And I believe you can do that. It's kind of like when people come together with a high purpose and they sequester themselves, they can create a high vibration in that sequestering. And there's not a lot of negativity there, hopefully. And the other Buddhism, Hinayana and Mahayana, I think. I forget which is which. The other Buddhism is where you don't sequester yourself. You're in the world, and you don't become enlightened until the world becomes enlightened. Now, I'm sure you can change your mind anywhere along the line, because you have all these lifetimes.
And there's another possibility, and that is to hold the dualistic thought at the same time, that you become enlightened and allow the world to not yet be enlightened, but hold both, all truths at one time in your mind.
The thing about it is since you are creating yourself, as you get into the experience of creating yourself and creating the world around you, and that's not easy to do, but if you get into that experience, and that doesn't mean you still don't have a shadow side you're working on or have to cope with. It doesn't, you know, yin yang is like dark and light in a circle. So I don't think one ever overcomes the shadow side. One, speaking from my own experience, one learns to work around their shadow side.
It is possible that, to eliminate it shadow by shadow.
It is. After a while, you can totally eliminate it.
Yes.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Awesome.
In any case, do you want to comment on John's question?
Could you format it?
He talks about the vow of the bodhisattva, okay, who comes into the manifest realm and does not enter enlightenment until all other sentient beings have.
We have commented already.
Yeah. Okay. So we will leave it at that, and let's see. And let me see here. Pamela, let's see, she gave Pamela in Oceanport, New Jersey. I am being. I am learning each day, but others seem to see me in a way that I do not see this personality self. Pamela, I think that's almost true for everyone who's on a path. Who am I, really? And what have I come to Earth for, besides helping save the Earth? Is there a purpose beyond this that I may not be aware of? Thank you kindly, and with much love, Pamela.
Communication to explain where you are coming from could help, as they do not make the jump from seeing you and guessing where you're at and to where you're really at, giving them the two stories about yourself can help. Communication to help bridge the gap between your real self and the self they are seeing can help put them straight.
If they're open to it.
If they're not open to it, then we see that they might be close to you, and it might be very difficult, as they want to bend your reality in a certain way. And they're unable to see you as you are, because they are bending how they want you to be.
Yeah. I find that, and I do this semi-automatically, I don't do this manipulatively, but it just comes up, where I drop little comments, you know, and that provoke people to ask me a question. And if I can provoke them to ask a question, then it gives me the opportunity to share something that I wouldn't have gone out of my way to share. Like, for example, I could tell somebody, I'm an author. And if I tell them I'm an author, they say, oh, did you write anything? And I say, well, you're probably not interested. And then they'll say, tell me. And I guess that's a whole conversation. I'm almost scared to do that, because once they start talking to me, I'm stuck for an hour, oftentimes. But then I find out they don't really follow it up. And then I say to myself, is it worth the time? Although you never know who's going to follow it up. So you have to make decisions along the way. Now, you're not an author, but you could say, you know how people talk about things they do, to say, I'm on this very unusual call on Wednesday nights. And I just leave it at that and leave space for them to say, oh, what is it about? And then you could say, well, I don't know. I don't think you're interested in these kinds of things. And then they'll say, well, just tell me. Let me decide. You see, you're kind of opening the door. This is true for everyone that can do this. Opening the door for communication. And in human relationships, I have learned this, especially in the last years, that it's not about telling things to people and getting them to agree with you. It's making them reach. Because if somebody reaches, then they're kind of coming into your energy field to reach, as opposed to try to give them new ways of seeing things. Reincarnation is real, and the Illuminati is blah, 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 you know? It's all about reaching and learning how to make people reach, which gives you the opportunity to communicate. And you have to be willing to not be successful to do it. If you're attached to being successful, if you're attached to being in someone else's good opinion of you, and maybe you're going to look weird, you won't do it, okay? But I have found if I go for it and go along with it, I'm very detached whether the person gets it or not. It's just that I gave them an opportunity to get it, and that's enough. And then I just let it go. I mean, you can always find a way to let it go. Say, well, you know what? Not everybody's interested in this stuff, so thanks for listening. And, you know, and just cut it. Don't get into an argument as well. Do our sources have anything else to say about this? All right, Valerie.
Oh, Valerie.
I was going to skip Valerie. I kept her at the bottom of the list, okay? And Don, you have a good question, but there's not time for it, okay? I'll see. Years ago, like in the early 2000s, I was driving down Vasco Road, and the radio reception was terrible on that road, so I shut it off. It was a beautiful day with silver-lined clouds in the sky. I kept hearing that song, Here Comes the Sun, by George Harrison. I mean, over and over and over. Thank God I love that song. But I heard chimes from the sky, which are hard to describe. The next day, I got out to my car and turned on the radio. And right away, it said, author of Here Comes the Sun, George Harrison, died yesterday. It really was beautiful, like I could hear the heavens welcoming him. Can you tell me more about how that works?
Yes. When many people hear of the death of someone that is so loved, they play it over in their minds. They think about it and telegraph it to the populace as a whole. And it is on that wavelength that you picked it up.
So it's because George died that people were thinking of this song.
Yes, and it being played.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
You know, it's interesting because years ago, and I mentioned that I had a woman that I was singing with, and we would travel around and do things, and oftentimes I would be singing a song in my head, totally silently, and suddenly she would start singing it out loud, exactly the same place where I was singing it. So I know how telepathy works like that with music. And of course, I'm playing with
groups.
Yeah. And when I was playing with other people, there was this telepathy where I could anticipate the notes that somebody else was going to play, and they could anticipate the notes that I was going to play. And whenever musicians start doing that publicly, they create an incredible energy that pulls the whole audience into the vibe. So we are all telepathic on some level, whether we consciously give ourselves credit for it or not. And on that note, it's 7:55, time to end the call, go over to Whole Planet Healing, and I thank you all for being here, and I thank Heis for being here, and hey, if it wasn't for Heis, we might not even be doing this, okay? So, thank you, Heis.
Don't make me feel good now, Vin.
What's that?
I said, don't make me feel too good now.
Now you know how you make me feel. I'm getting even, all right?
Hey, I love you. I love you, Teddy. Thank you to our beautiful sources, and I love everyone on the
call. All callers are unmuted.